Let us be still and know that God is. God was also in the beginning. When all of our human striving has ceased, God will still be. From everlasting to everlasting, only God is God, the one who holds our beginnings and our endings, the one who is love itself, the one from whom nothing can separate us. In this spirit, we've gathered this morning in the presence of the living God. Amen. Meg Christian has a wonderful song. It's called, in many ways, Can We Be Like Drops of Water? She says, can we be like drops of water falling on a stone, splashing, breaking, dissolving in air, weaker than stone by far. But be aware that as time passes, the rock will wear away and the waters return. George and I live across the street from Puritan Lawn Memorial Park. It's a beautiful place to go walking in every season. One of the gardens there is my favorite. It's a garden that's been set aside for children who have died and parents who have lost these children. In that garden, there is a rock that's taller than me. It's huge. And that rock was imported from Italy, from a waterfall there, it says on a little plaque there nearby. And if you look on the very top, there's this indentation. And it's an indentation, and there's a hole, and then there's a hole that goes all the way through the rock and comes out at the bottom with a huge force. So it's very interesting to see that rock has worn away, the water has returned. It stands as a symbol for us to not lose faith. One of the things that's most important for us, Jesus saw through the rock of the Roman Empire, saw through the rock of ways of dealing with people that were not loving, and saw through that rock to the rock of God, which is the rock of the presence I am, a presence that can never be destroyed. Jesus saw that this was a presence that stands against all that would diminish or distort or try to destroy life. That is the presence of God. Jesus also had a vision of human community where all are a part of this creation that God had created, and each piece, each one, a separate and beloved part, important for the whole, the body of Christ. So in our lectionary for today, Jesus comes back from a place of prayer, and the disciples say to him, teach us to pray. Kind of like, what are you doing out there all the time? What's going on? Teach us to pray. As if, as his disciples, they didn't know how to pray. But they wanted to know more about what prayer was for Jesus. And for Jesus, prayer was not just saying prayers. It was very different. It was about being in the presence of the living God. Being in that presence, which over time changes our opinionated head, opens our closed down heart, releases our defensive body, and allows us to hear the words of love. It's an attitude of presence. Now, a lot of times I say this to George or others, and people come to me and say this, "Oh, I'm too busy to pray." Good heavens, what do you think this is? This is a busy world. I'm too busy to pray. And once a spiritual mentor said to me, "Well, if you're so hungry, are you too busy to eat? If you're thirsty, are you too busy to have a drink? If you're breathless, are you too busy to sit down and catch your breath?" That sort of made sense to me because I realized, my soul is thirsty for the living God, that presence, that connection to a larger truth and reality. And so it is we take time. You see, God wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with us, the creation. And that consciousness is something that we need to cultivate. Now, it's interesting because in the prayer, of course, we might say it 3-4 times on a Sunday and at least once a day, the Lord's Prayer. How often can we also just listen and hear the words, what the words are pointing toward, opening us to, allowing us to see? And first we hear God wants a relationship. Oh God, eternal God, our Father, our Mother, our Creator, the one who has created us and who loves us. And then the second part that's really important, we ask for things that we need, but not that we simply want. It's not about material wealth, that's not in the Lord's Prayer. It's not about perfect health, that's not in the Lord's Prayer. But the thing that's most important, for me at least, is hearing in the Lord's Prayer, it's all about us. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us, forgive us our debts. Keep us from evil, the evil one. Protect us. Not me. It's not me, mine. There's nothing about me in the Lord's Prayer. It's kind of strange. It's always about us. It's us. Give us today. Because Christianity is a communal process. If give us today our daily bread, if I get my bread and you don't, this is a problem for all of us. So we work together in community. Often we might miss this part, but then also we must take some time in our prayer for silence. Silence, it is said, is the sound of that which sound ordinarily obscures. Silence. That which sound ordinarily obscures. So there's something in silence that offers us something. Now, Elijah got that when he wrote, when we read in Elijah, there was an earthquake, a fire, big storm. God wasn't in any of those. And then, not a still small voice, although we often, that was what I was raised with, but the actual Hebrew scriptures are much closer to the sound of sheer silence. That's where God met Elijah. The sound of sheer silence. Now, silence is not an easy thing. In our healing worship, we actually take time. On the second Sundays of the month at 10 o'clock, we spend 5 minutes in silence at the beginning. Set it up to make it a safe place, and then 5 minutes, and then later some silence too. Now, I was shocked, but shouldn't have been, when I was at Harvard Divinity School and was in my first setting, and I was giving my first pastoral prayer, and the pastor said to me, "Well, now you'll do these parts, this is all part of the pastoral prayer, and then you'll take some time for silence for people to lift up their concerns." And he said, "Here at this church, we can stand about 20 seconds of silence." And I was like, "What? 20 seconds? And then, sure enough, because after 20 seconds, a lot of noise and shuffling and kind of moving around, and it's a long time to just sit with God or with me. What, are we afraid, maybe, at times? What will God say to us? Well, what if God is going to say something like God says in our baptismal vow, "You are my beloved creation, child. I delight in you." That is God's covenant with us. So maybe it's more like great theologian Dr. Fred Rogers, or Mr. Fred Rogers, Presbyterian minister, and I'm sure all of you have heard of him, when he said, "It's you I like. It's not the clothes you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. It's you I like. The way you are right now, the way down deep inside you, not the things that hide you, not your stuff. That's just beside you. It's you I like. Your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new. I hope that you'll remember when you're feeling blue that it's you I like. It's you yourself. It's you." What if we hear that when we take the time for silence? God's affirmation, our baptismal vow renewed. Will we have energy to be persistent in the world, to go out, or to do what we need to do to make the world a place we all can inhabit? Hard to know, perhaps, but with this deep in our bones, we have more of a chance to not be frozen, closed doors, closed closets, everything, don't take me out there. More to like, okay, maybe I can say something. Maybe I can say something. Maybe I can be a presence. Maybe I can do an act of kindness, an act of gratitude. Maybe. It's hard to know. Will I have the courage? Now, right after telling this, the Lord's Prayer, and teaching us the Lord's Prayer, Jesus goes on to tell this funny parable right after. And he says, this friend goes to a friend's house, and he knocks on the door. It's the middle of the night. And he says, "You know what? I've got a friend who's come, and I've got nothing to put in front of him. I need bread to give to him. I've got to be hospitable." And the friend looks out and goes, "What? What do you want? I'm in bed. The doors are locked. The kids are in bed. We're tired. Go away. I need bread. My friend has come." And then Jesus says, the parable says that the friend gets up and gives him what he needs. Gives him what he needs. And he says, don't think he did it because the friend had convinced him. He did it because the friend was persistent and kept at him. And I thought, maybe I set the bar too high. Maybe sometimes I think, well, if I don't convince everyone of everything, forget it, I shouldn't be persistent. But Jesus is saying, no, you know what? Sometimes people want to just go back to sleep, go back unconscious. But you know what? They'll still do something when we ask, we seek, we knock. That's Jesus' message to the disciples. Don't be afraid. Go ahead, ask, seek, knock, and then wait. Wait, because God will not give us just what our ego needs, everything our ego needs, but God will give us what our soul needs. The ego thinks it needs all this stuff. The soul knows it needs love, companionship, community. Greta Thunberg, who is a 16-year-old Swedish climate change activist, 16 years old, put it this way, and I loved when I read this. She said, the thing we need even more than hope is some action Once we start to act, hope is everywhere. Once we start to act, hope is everywhere. But we have to do the action. It may not be much. This is our problem in our very individualized society. We think if my action doesn't do it all, forget it. We forgot we're a community. We forgot we're a communal. And so each action joins together. Each drop of water can form a tsunami of hope that grows. But as long as I stay locked in my room, unable to go out and knock, seek, ask, not much can happen. I think she's pretty wise for 16. We're a communal force. We must try to remember that and be persistent in our prayer, persistent in our silence, persistent in being willing to take a chance on God. Martin Luther King, of course, reminded us of this when he said, "Out of this mountain of despair, we will hew a stone of hope." It doesn't matter how big the rock is. It's important for us just to remember, can we be like drops of water falling on a stone, splashing, dropping, dispersing in air, weaker than stone by far? But be aware that as time passes, the rock will wear away and the waters return.